Good morning. Am I on? Oh, I'm on now. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Are we all doing well? Did you see the flood we had before? It was torrential, Mark. It was like Niagara Falls. I know. So anyway, we'll sort it. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to carry on from where Mark really left off last week. So let's just do a little bit of a reminder of what Mark was talking about. So he spoke about God moments, if you remember, about how we need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, and that the Holy Spirit stimulates revelation in our hearts to bring change, but that ultimately we have a choice as to whether we choose to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit or not. So today I want to take a closer look at the Holy Spirit, when our journey with the Holy Spirit begins, what the fruits of the Spirit are, and what they mean for us in our everyday lives, but also why we struggle to display them and reap the benefits of them in our lives. And I know a lot of you will know the fruits of the Spirit, and you know some of this stuff is, it's not new stuff, but it's good to be reminded. And you know, it is an everyday battle, I think, and so it's always good to take another look at it. So let's start by looking at when our journey with the Holy Spirit starts. Well, it's as soon as you truly acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and you ask him into your heart. Jesus died for us so that we can be reconnected with God. Jesus can't be with all of us at the same time in human form, and there had to be another way for us to be connected to God. And in John 16, verse 7, Jesus actually explains this, and he says to the disciples, and I've taken this from the Amplified Bible, just because I like the way it's written, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," that's the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." See, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, he sends the Holy Spirit to live in us. Jesus knows without his help, we'll find it impossible to live the way God calls us to. We need constant help, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside our hearts, and he changes us from the inside out. And as he starts to change us, we should start to display the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what are the fruits? Let's have a look at Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law." All of those are available to us in abundance if we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead. And how wonderful life would be if we all lived with those in our hearts every single day in every single situation. There'd be no arguing. There'd be no grief. There'd be no strife. There'd be no arguments. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? So my question is, why, if the Spirit is living inside us, do we struggle to display all these fruits in abundance? Now, I'm not being critical or judgmental here. This is a genuine battle. And the answer is given that in John 15, verses 1 to 17. It's quite a long scripture, this. Let me just take a drink of water before I start reading it. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Great scriptures. I just love that. So Jesus is explaining here that we have to remain connected to him to bear fruit. And he uses the analogy of a vine, stating he is like the true vine and we are all the branches growing out of that vine, and God is the gardener. And if a branch is to remain healthy and strong and bear fruit, it must be connected to the main vine, otherwise it's going to wither and die. So if we're not connecting with Jesus daily, then we will become undernourished and our faith will start to wither. It's so important to have time with Jesus every day in prayer or reading the Bible or worshipping, so we stay connected. God also knows that for a plant to grow stronger and flourish even more, it needs to be pruned. And for us, unfortunately, that means we will be tested, that things in life will happen that will cause us pain. But if we remain connected to Jesus, we'll grow stronger and hardier and become more resilient as we go through these things. So, okay, we understand we need to keep connected to Jesus, and that will help us, and that we have the Holy Spirit living in us also to help us. But that still doesn't answer why we all still struggle to display these fruits. And you know, I can be so determined to be everything Jesus wants me to be, starting at the day, in the morning, getting it all right, having time with him. I want to put all my wonderful fruits on display. And then life rocks up in all its wonderful glory. And I find that my fruit starts to shake and fall off. Examples for you. So where does my patience and joy go when I find that the dishwasher hasn't been emptied again? Oh, someone has used the last loo roll and not told anybody. Or, this is a good one in our house, I'll go to put wet clothes out of the washing machine in the tumble dryer and it's full of clothes that someone else has left there and I've got to take them all out and fold them all up. Or another one, I'll leave something on the bottom of the stairs for someone to take up when the next go in, and everyone in the house will walk past that thing on the bottom of the stairs except for me. Invisible Mart, yeah. Now, I know these are little things in the scheme of life, and I should be smiling sweetly and saying, you know, I'm so blessed that I've got a dishwasher and a tumble dryer, and just sing merrily like Snow White and just do what needs to be done. But the truth is, inside, I'm grumbling away and I'm huffing and I'm puffing. Silly examples, but nonetheless, situations that can allow me to be robbed of my peace and joy. Then there's other examples too. And you know me, when I'm sharing on a Sunday, I like to be practical. I like to tell you how my faith works out, and hopefully it encourages you. So I'm being really honest up here. So when I'm driving and someone cuts me up, or worse still, some young person comes screaming up the road on an off-road motorcycle with no helmet, probably no insurance or license, and jumps the lights. And I sit there and I say to myself, Jesus loves him, Lisa. Have a blessed day, young man. No. My fruits are sadly lacking in times like this. But why? Well, we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is living inside me and is surrounded by my fleshly body. A body that has wants and needs. And when that young man on that motorbike comes screaming up that road, my fleshly body rears its head in response. And this is a constant battle for me. There is a constant battle going on between the Holy Spirit and our fleshly selves. And it's so important that we recognize it. And you know, Paul talks about it in Romans 7, verse 15. He says, "For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, and my sinful capacity." And in Galatians 15, verse 17, Paul continues to explain, "For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the spirit, and the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do." So ladies and gents, there is a battle going on between our natural human man and the Holy Spirit inside, which is why sometimes I can behave exactly as Jesus would expect, and then other times I'm like, wow, did I really just do that? Recognizing and acknowledging this battle will help you move forward. I was watching some ladies the other week chatting about this spiritual battle that we face on YouTube. And one of the ladies shared how she and her husband were really struggling in their marriage, going back. And she was just at the point of ready to walk away. And her husband had asked her to go to marriage guidance, and she'd agreed reluctantly. But things were that bad, she shared, that she said, "But we're going in separate cars." So that's how they went. But on her way there, she was talking to the Holy Spirit, and she pleaded with him not to let her walk in that room on her own. She said, "I'm so full of anger and weariness that if you don't walk in with me, it's not going to end well." She said, "I knew I needed the Holy Spirit's help to win this battle between what her human nature wanted and what God wanted for her." So she made a conscious effort to allow the Holy Spirit to lead in that situation. She pleaded with him to be the stronger force to override her natural self. She's still married today, and they're very much in a better place. Praise God. Do you know, I can remember a time early in our marriage where I was ready to walk away from my lovely Ray. But I remember going to bed so full of anger and hurt and pleading with Jesus that I needed him to help me see this through his eyes and not mine. I knew in my own self that I was done, but Jesus had other plans. And the next morning when I woke up, I was so full of love for Ray and actually really angry that I'd nearly allowed the enemy to steal my marriage from me. This week we celebrate 25 years of marriage and 30 years together. And yes, we are very much in love. Relationships are so hard. We get let down by people. We get hurt by circumstances, and we can be led by our emotions. When they kick in, all hell can let loose if we don't get control of them. Anger, sadness, grief, fear, guilt, shame, disgust. These are all emotions that we experience, and the normal human reactions. The problem comes when we allow them to consume us. We need to make sure we recognize our emotional triggers and ask the Holy Spirit to help us handle them. In our natural, we can want to stay angry at someone, can't we, when we've been hurt, and we want to tell the whole world about the injustice of it. "You won't believe what happened to me. I know, how very dare they." And the more we talk about it, the more angry we get and the more justified we get. And yet the Bible tells us to love our enemy and forgive all wrongdoings. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, that can be impossible to do. We have to acknowledge our feelings and then take them to Jesus and ask him to help us deal with them correctly. And I can guarantee that the Holy Spirit will already be prodding you on your shoulder saying, "Hey, come on, you know that's not right." We all know when we're reacting in the way that we shouldn't be. But we'll need to listen to his promptings and follow them. And only then will you truly start to display the fruits of the Spirit. When we find our human nature taking hold and becoming more dominant, that's when we really have to connect with the Holy Spirit and ask for his help. Ask him to help us dig deep into that fruit that's available for all to enjoy. I don't know about you, but I would much rather prefer to be filled with love and joy than anger and rage. A couple of weeks ago, Linda talked about loving the unlovable. Well, quite frankly, to do that, you absolutely need the Holy Spirit. In our natural selves, we would avoid people that we think are different to us. You see it in all walks of life. Yet Jesus calls us to go make disciples. That means mixing and talking and loving people that we wouldn't always like. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, instead of allowing our own instincts to kick in, we can do this joyfully. You know, whenever I go on cat visits or I'm getting alongside people, I don't know, I always ask that I see them through Jesus' eyes. I don't want my natural, judgmental self to get in the way. But I have to choose to let the Holy Spirit override me. Let me give you another example of what I mean. I can remember going way back, going visiting a young family. There were lots of issues within this family. And I remember them telling me how they had this big trampoline in the garden and how they loved to go on it. And they said, you know, we'll spend quite often all afternoon just bouncing on the trampoline while the kids are at school. And I'm sat there and I'm like, wow. None of them were working because they had health conditions. Their home wasn't the tidiest, that's being polite. They struggled to budget and handle their money. And they said that really they'd only come to CAP because a social worker told them to. I have to say, everything in my natural self was telling me, I'm wasting my time here. They're never going to work with us. But you know what? I persisted and I listened to the Holy Spirit and I gave them my very best anyway, just like I knew I should and like I would with any other client. And despite what I was thinking, and I prayed with them, which they absolutely loved. And do you know what? I was so wrong. They worked their butt off. They stuck to the budget and they paid back every single penny of debt. And in the process, they cleaned up the house. Dad got a job. They just needed some love and direction and for someone to believe in them, just like that young man Linda told us about. He needed to be shown love. Jesus told us that he is the vine and we are the branches. Now note here, he didn't say we are a branch. He said we are the branches. We're not in isolation here. So for me, I was thinking about this and I thought, well, you know, fruit trees, to bear fruit, they need to be pollinated and that needs flowers from other trees. And in the same way, we need each other to grow and flourish. We're all living this life together. We belong to the same church family, and so we should be pollinating, for want of a better word, each other. And what I mean is we should be encouraging each other, challenging each other, growing and flourishing together. And to do that, we need to spend time together in prayer, in fellowship, sharing our experiences. It's so important. We live in a world where faith is becoming a minority. To be strong in your Christian faith, we need to join and grow together. It's so important to be part of a church if you're going to grow your faith. Now, you can be a Christian and not be in church, but you won't flourish in the same way. Rubbing shoulders with each other and seeing how God is working in other people's lives really encourages me. And it helps me on my personal walk, and I'm sure it does the same for you. We learn from each other. So, you know, when we have something on here, come along, get involved, share with one another, ask questions, listen, love one another. Together, we are stronger. And that's AOG strapline. It's on the poster out there. But you know, let me take another drink. Have you noticed, though, when things start to get really tough for us personally, what we tend to do? We tend to pull away, don't we? We tend to want to isolate and go and lick our own wounds and try and work things out. But what we should be doing is leaning into Jesus, leaning into our church family. I've talked about this before because it's so important. When we're going through the storms of life, how we handle them speaks volumes to others. If we cut ourselves off, if we don't share, how can we demonstrate who God is in our lives? During the storms, if we share with our church family, you're saying, actually, do you know what? I trust you and I love you enough to allow you to walk with me through this, to pray, to encourage, to help. but also at the same time, you're demonstrating to everyone your fruit. You're saying, you know, I know this is tough for me right now, but I'm standing firm in Jesus, and I'm believing he will see me through. Your peace will be on display. Your love will be on display. Your faithfulness will be on display. And not only will your church family see this, but all those other people around you too. And you'll be giving glory to God by displaying the fruits that he's giving you through the Holy Spirit. Our stories make a difference. When we allow others into our stories, sharing the goodness of God, that will encourage them. We shouldn't go through the storms of life on our own. And as we face and overcome various challenges in life as a church family, our faith in God will grow. Our fruits will flourish, and our battle with our natural human fleshly desires will become easier as we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to override them. This week, I want you all to look back over the difficult times in your life and have a look at who was leading. You'll see times when you were leading. How did that turn out for you? You'll see times when the Holy Spirit was leading. How did that turn out? Think about the times when you've heard wonderful stories from others about how God has worked in their lives. How did that make you feel? I want us all to recognize the constant battle that we're in and to start watching for it in our daily lives. And you know, the battles can be small, but lots of small battles lost can have a massive impact overall. Every time you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, no matter how small the battle, you will see your fruits flourish. Let's all bring something to share next week. Now, I'm not saying that everyone will want to get up front and share, but we can all share with someone, whether you're chatting before the service or whether you're chatting next door over a coffee. Let's start rubbing our branches together and letting our fruit bloom and blossom for all to see, because that will cause an aroma so sweet it can't help but attract others. Our community is desperate for hope, for love, for a brighter future. We have all of that in Jesus. The scent we give off to others when our fruit is flourishing is absolutely attractive, and others will see it then, and we can start to have conversations with them about why we're able to live a life that's full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Make sure your fruit is bright and beautiful and not rotten and pungent. And you know, I'm going to finish here and be a bit cheesy. Let's be the flower that everyone wants to pick. Amen.